You're listening to the News Project for the week of November 25th, 2019, brought to you by GNAT TV. This week's podcast brings you these stories. Cubelets invade Arlington's Fisher School. A new track course and splash pad are planned for the Manchester Rec Park. The Dorset Select Board begins the town plan review. And Manchester's Memorial Avenue eyes a major overhaul.
So this is the grand opening of the fourth grade STEM STEAM lab.
Cut! He's got to say cut when he does that.
So this is the grand opening of the fourth grade STEAM lab. STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Mathematics. And we realized that our science curriculum is really great in earth science and biology and life sciences, but we were lacking in science and engineering. So we wanted to really figure out a way to get the kids engaged and bring them into the 21st century. So the class and I actually did some research, and we found these cubelets, which are little 2-inch by 2-inch cubes that have specific functions, and you can assemble them together to make a variety of different robots getting more and more complex as they increase in size. So we started a Donors Choose program, had a lot of individuals from the community, people that we didn't even know, donate some money. And then when I saw that we were a little bit short of our goal, actually quite a bit short, I reached out to Mac Molding, and Florence Belknap very graciously filled in the rest of the grant, about $1,800. In addition to all that, a very gracious customer of the Reluctant Panther, someone who's involved in the Arlington Renewal Project, Sandy and Daniel Krivitz, gave the class a separate donation, and we were able to buy a 3D printer with that. So the last few days, the kids have been using 3D modeling software to create their own images, manipulate things in three dimensions, and then send those to the printer and watch as they're getting 3D printed. It's been an amazing experience, and I'm really excited to get these cubelets in the hands of the kids where they belong. So thank you to the Krivitz family, thank you to Mac Molding, and thank you for everyone else who donated some of the money to this.
A new skateboard park recently opened and is poised for expansion, but that's not the only big change underway at the Dana Thompson Memorial Recreation Park in Manchester. On a field that borders Route 30 and alongside the main entrance to the park, a new facility for track and field events, with another field enclosed inside it, are under construction. The hope is to have it ready for action by next spring. Burnburton Academy Athletic Director Dave Maselli and Manchester Town Manager John O'Keefe explain what's going on.
We are building a track, and as you can see, the turn of the track just kind of abuts next to the softball field that's already here, and it's going to run perpendicular to Route 30, and it will be a 6-lane track with an 8-lane chute, and in the middle will be a field for soccer, football, etc., lacrosse.
It's Eric Knapp
Field.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
gonna
still be
right?
Knapp Field.
So,
okay. Yep.
So Knapp Field, which was torn up in order to make room for the track, will be relocated and positioned inside the track. And they've never really had a home. So although we've had a track team, we have not had a home track to participate on or practice on. Our kids would get on the bus and go down to Arlington, or sometimes even up to Rutland, down to Mount Anthony, and once in a while to practice on a real track or on a real surface for the various events. And as our track has grown in popularity, last season we had 84 students participating in track. Yeah, 84 kids in the track program. It's time to build a track. We've been looking at this for a number of years. John and I have been working together on figuring out what the best sites are for the track. There really aren't many locations or any suitable locations up at Burnburton.
Pretty big. That's a pretty big asset that we had to jointly figure out where could we put something that large. The one thing I like about it is anybody can do track. I think that's something that's nice about that event, especially in today's day and age, when you know childhood obesity is a real issue, you know, not as much here in the North Shore as other areas, but we still suffer from it. Something like track and field is a great activity for younger kids even.
The cost for the track is being funded by Burn Burton. We are doing fundraising through Burn Burton to make sure that we are able to meet the needs for the track.
Is it?
But that's not the only proposed addition to the rec park under consideration. Over by the swimming pool, where for many years a kiddie pool for young children was part of the facilities, a splash pad is being planned to replace the now defunct and removed kiddie pool. A splash pad is a recreation area for water play that has little or no standing water. One like it is under construction in Bennington. Typically, there are ground nozzles that spray water upwards out of the splash pad's rain deck. The water is either fresh water or recycled and treated water that is typically treated to at least the same level of quality as swimming pool water standards. Pauline Moore, who has worked at the town office for many years, most recently as its economic development director, will be stepping down and retiring in the near future, but is overseeing the fundraising for this final project. She described how it came about and what it involves.
So the thought was, instead of replacing the kiddie pool, we would replace it with a splash pad. And the reason for doing that is manyfold. One, it would serve not only the kids, but the adults and the older people who in hot weather just wanted to cool off. And it would be a fun thing for kids. And because it does not require having a lifeguard, we could open it earlier. We were in the pool just June, July, and August because basically the kids will go back to college and we don't have any lifeguards. And a splash pad does not require a lifeguard. It only requires somebody that has first aid training and CPR training. So we could have supervisors there that were not lifeguards, which means we could open the splash pad in May and close it in September so that we could get a longer period for the kids to use the splash pad. Now, it would cost about $250,000 to get a nice splash pad. We do have $60,000 left over. Last year at the town meeting, we got $115,000 from the CERC fund to upgrade things at the rec park, and we have about $60,000 left over. We have $15,000 that the town and the rec park have left from Circus Smirkus, so we would put that money toward the splash pad as well. So far we've got $75,000 toward our $250,000, and I'm looking to raise $175,000 so we could get this done as soon as possible, so we could have a fun place for kids to cool off and parents to bring their kids and feel safe and have fun.
Winter may be coming on and the athletic field is getting quieter, but come next year, if all goes according to plans, the rec park will have more to offer its patrons. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. The Dorset Select Board opened its public hearing on a proposed new town plan on Tuesday, November 19th, at the town offices in East Dorset. The plan had been approved by Dorset's Planning Commission last month, and they turned it over to the Select Board for a final review. With only three of their five members present, the Select Board began by focusing on some of the portions of the proposed plan which dealt with energy issues. That part of the town plan looks to legislation enacted in 2016, known as Act 174, to direct the town's pathway towards greater reliance on renewable energy sources to meet the town's future energy needs. Kat Breyer is a planner with the Bennington County Regional Commission, who worked closely with Dorset's Planning Commission in drafting the new town plan, gave the Select Board an overview of it.
The requirements that came down, if you want to meet Act 174 in a municipal plan, you have to set goals for energy consumption, for future use, and for policies that will help get your town to 90% renewable by 2050. You can strategically decide if renewable energy generation might be a best use for a certain area of land, or if there are environmental or other constraints. why those shouldn't be considered. So that's kind of why my understanding of why this process has been routed through the land use planning lens is that final component of the energy chapter, which is this mapping of renewable resources and hopefully identifying sites where the town would prefer that renewable energy be sited in the future.
The board reviewed other parts of the energy section, discussing wind and solar energy potentials in Dorset and suggesting some language modifications. They will continue the public hearing at their next meeting, where some of the other sections of the proposed town plan, such as housing, transportation, land use, and education, may come up for further review. We talked with both Tyler Yandow, Dorset's zoning administrator, and Henry Chandler, the chairman of the select board, about the purposes and significance of the new town plan.
The town plan is aspirational in nature, and it sets out, I'll call it broad brush goals for the town in terms of the type of place that people want to create. And from there, the next step would be to look at the town's bylaws and say, okay, what in our bylaws does or does not support the aspirations of the town plan? So once you change one document, you really need to adjust the other one.
Yeah, I think the new town plan has some significant changes. There's certainly the energy component upon that's been included. It really increases the size of the town plan like 35-40%. So it's a significant add-on, but it's necessitated by Act 174, which if we do this correctly, and I think the Planning Commission has so far, it gives us a voice at the table for the Public Utility Service when they are reviewing any kind of an energy system to be located in Dorset. You know, then now we'll have a voice in locating it or permitting it or conditioning it, whatever we would like as a town regarding that particular installation. Additionally, there is, I think, some change in allowing a little more infilling, a little more residential density in the villages of Dorset. And this is, I think, to encourage, a little more economic vitality, which I think is a good thing. And I think, as long as it's done right, I think that's also a good thing for Dorset. But we all have to review these, this document a little more thoroughly. And so I would encourage, and I think all town residents should be doing the same. It is available on the Town of Dorset's website.
The Select Board hopes to have the town plan approved before the annual town meeting in March. Dorset's current town plan expires at the end of this year. Once the Select Board approves it, it will be in place. No further public vote is required. The Select Board has the option of referring it back to the Planning Commission for more work, in which case a new public hearing would be held later on. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. The corner of Memorial Avenue and Main Street in Manchester will be seeing a few changes taking place over the coming year if plans for a long-delayed overhaul of the street that runs past Manchester Elementary Middle School and connects to school and Bonnet Streets finally gets approval, funding, and a green light to begin construction. There's two parts to it, actually, one of which will be handled by the Taconic and Green Regional School District and involves some changes to the layout of the parking areas and recreation spaces around the school. The other is a Manchester Town project that aims to create more parking spots and improve the safety for students being dropped off or picked up at the start or end of the school day. Memorial Avenue has long been regarded by parents, school officials, and town officials as a bad congestion spot in the mornings and afternoons when school is in session and many students are being picked up or dropped off there, or walking across the street from a parking area behind the buildings that house the Walgreens and the Habitat for Humanity's retail shop. Several plans for fixing the flow of traffic and the safety of students have been floated in recent years, but a new one discussed at the Manchester Select Board meeting on November 12th may finally have some traction. Manchester Town Manager John O'Keefe and Christine Haskins, a vice president of the engineering and design firm Dufresne Group, walked us through some of the proposed changes.
So right now we're still working on details. You can see there's a couple problems here though. The one is that the sidewalk comes right in. You can see the pedestrian landing pad there. And then next to that is a curb cut. So cars, I wish there was one that was coming in right now, but cars will come in and cut the corner and go right to the pumps. So it's really hard for us to maintain a sidewalk here. This is a similar situation to what we fixed down in front of Price Chopper, where you had a sidewalk and a curb cut sharing the same space. So we're still looking at this solution here. The original concept had two lanes of traffic coming out. We think it's possible to do that with just one lane, given what the changes that we're making further back. But those are the changes on that side. And then on this side, one is to eliminate these parking spots, but create a lot more parking opportunity in another part of the concept. And then bumping out the crosswalk here. So the crosswalk would come out further out here, and on the other side further out there. And I think we're straightening it out too, right, Chrissy?
Yes, so the crosswalk will be straighter, more perpendicular to the road. And this will create more of an entrance to the downtown area. So right now the entrance is further down by Ty Basil. That's kind of where it narrows up and people slow down. So ideally this would be the new, narrowing up spot where people are starting to slow down here.
In addition to a wider sidewalk in front of MEMS and an improved crosswalk at the intersection of Main and Memorial, the road would divide and one branch would lead into the parking lot and the other on towards the school for drop-offs. Parents dropping off kids at the school would then continue on towards school and then Bonnet Street. Likewise, School Street would terminate where it currently meets up with Memorial Avenue. Working out an agreement with the real estate company that owns the Walgreens building on the reconfiguration of the parking lot seems to be moving forward, said Kirk Moore of BMA Architects.
Yeah, basically it's a real simple issue, and that is that the Keelan company that owns the Rite Aid, or the now Walgreens Plaza, has two parcels of land. One is where the Walgreens sits, and the second parcel is basically a right-of-way parcel that connects Memorial Ave to the back of the Walgreens area, as well as the People's Bank drive-through. So then the town owns a parcel directly behind Walgreens. And the objective is to create a shared parking area behind Walgreens. It requires both parties, the town as well as the Keelan company, to work together on that solution. And now we're working towards that. We hopefully will have a solution worked up in the next month or so.
The municipal parking lot needs refurbishment, and once upgraded, would help solve a tight parking problem in downtown Manchester, town manager John O'Keefe said.
In order to get enough depth here for four rows right now, you can see here, actually this is a pretty good example because it's pickup time. You've got one functional row here. Then we've got this huge chasm here that's way more. And then you've got kind of a row of parkers over here that have roughed themselves in. And then all the area in front of Walgreens, which is this town property, isn't being used. So somewhere in here, we need to figure out how we can get four rows of parking. One over here, a double row in the middle, and then one row over by the Walgreens area. And that would allow us to really use this parking lot much better. Both for MEMS pickup and drop-off and special events, but especially for downtown parking right now on Main Street especially is where we feel like we really need more parking.
Meanwhile, the school district is also hoping to move ahead on moving a basketball court and converting that space into more parking area while making a few other improvements, said school superintendent Jacqueline Wilson.
For the school, the school has had put aside close to a quarter of $1 million. We've had it in our reserve fund because we know that we need to redo our parking lot, the teacher parking lot. So we already have money set aside to do that. The other thing we would do on the school side is, if you know the area, you know that there's a basketball court that's right, as you're looking at the school, right to the left. Kids have to cross the parking lot to go there. That's another safety concern. We would relocate that basketball court, and all of that, the playground, middle school playground and the basketball court, all gets relocated to the back of the school, where now we have some fields. It gets located back there, and the current basketball court gets turned into a visitor parking lot. The beauty of this change in this plan would be that if we're able to relocate the basketball court and relocate where the middle school students have recess right now, and we put that all in the back of our building, it allows us to use Bowen Field, which is a regulation field right there, which really takes a beating because it also uses a playground field. It's going to allow us to really maintain that as a quality playing field. And right now, our students anyways play most of their games over at the rec, and we have access to rec fields. So we're in a good location that's easy for us to have our games there. And those are conversations I've had with the town manager, too.
The eventual price tag for the municipal portion of the project is reckoned to be less than the $1.5 million that was expected to be spent under a previous version of the plan, which included a road going around the playing field across the street from MEMS. Both school and town officials would like to get the work done over the summer to have the new layout ready for the start of the next school year. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.tv.